Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, huge news. After a year of recording remotely on Zoom, we are finally going live again. We're recording two episodes back to back every single month in London. We're doing a London residency.
Yes,
genuinely could not be more excited.
And it's at the Museum of Comedy.
It's a fantastic venue, and you can come and see one show or you can stay for the double header. Shows are at 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Our first show is on the 20th of July, and then 31st of August, 28th of September, 26th of October. Those are all Tuesdays. It's Tipsy Tuesday. Tickets can be purchased from www.drunkwomensolvingcrime.com. Residency.
Residency. Tipsy Tuesdays.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Was it her mother?
I love the story of the woman trying to help you with these clues. They're
really
so
cute.
Not allowed to do that.
Ayla's mind is in the gutter.
Yes. Honk, honk.
It's getting more urgent, you see.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by comedian, writer, podcaster, Rachel Krieger.
Yay! Rachel.
Rachel, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. And it's so nice to have a round of applause after 15 months of lockdown. Yeah. I tried and tried to convince my kids to do a round of applause every time I come in the room, but they just...
You should maybe sort of like, stop feeding them until they do it. I think you can...
Yeah, I'm offering chocolate buttons to get them to do stuff like they don't want to do. So like, I think girls are probably too old for chocolate buttons.
Really. I think their argument would be, I should be funny, and then it would be...
Okay, sassy kids.
Well, Rachel, we always kick off this podcast by saying one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. I've been a victim of a few quite weird crimes.
Go on.
And I thought I'll bring you like a mini one and then a slightly less mini one. So the slightly minier one is that years ago, I can tell you it was about 27 years ago, my husband and I went to live in Minsk in Belarus. We went to work in the Jewish community there as sort of outreach workers. And that sounds quite weird. Like they wanted us. It's a part of a
no, sorry. Thing. Didn't sound weird. Just to help everyone that's as ignorant as me, I've only ever heard of Minsk from friends when Chandler's going to move there to get away from Janice.
Yeah. Now he moves.
No, he's moving to Yemen. Minsk is where Phoebe's boyfriend.
Phoebe's boyfriend, David, he moves there.
He moves to Minsk.
Yeah. I mean, he lived around the corner to us.
Oh, wow.
He was way less involved in the Jewish community, but I'm not judging. Okay. I'm just telling you.
He's not as helpful.
Not as helpful at all. David, what can I say? But yeah, so we went to work in Minsk, and at the time it was a new country. It was just after Glasnost when all the states had separated. You can do GCSE history if you want. And at that time, the general staff was run by the Russian mafia. So an example I can give you, and this was like completely normal and everyone knew about it, it wasn't a secret, was if you wanted to travel somewhere by train, you'd go to the main station, like the central station, and you'd go up to the little ticket booth and you'd say to the nice lady, hello, I'd like a ticket to Moscow. And she'd say, okay, no problem. And then she would come out of her booth and go over to a guy standing under a pillar in a suit thing in his ear. And I don't know. So I'm imagining he has something on his watch, but I don't really remember that. Wow. It just feels like that sort of thing. But she'd go over to the tough guy by the pillar. And she'd say, obviously, they're two foreigners who want to go to Moscow. And he would, make a few calculations. And then he'd say to her, an amount of money. So she would come back in and she'd say, right, that will be 100 rubles.
Wow.
And you'd give her 100 rubles and she'd carefully put a proportion of it into the till and then pop back round to Big Boy and give him the remainder. And that was sort of quite normal. So I don't know if that's being a victim of crime because that was, I don't know if state sanctioned really, or just everybody knew about it and it was sort of fine. State if you wanted to change money or whatever, it was always these guys. But the sort of, it's kind of what Virgin does
with trains, though. It's just that you physically saw the money going into the guy's pocket.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for everything.
I mean, do you think if we always knew like how much of our money was going where, we'd ever buy a thing again? We'd all be bartering, I think, after that.
That would be a good sketch, wouldn't it? The man is Virgin.
That's wild. Obviously, no one would refuse, but I guess you could say no thank you, like if the amount was too high, but you just have to walk.
Well, yeah, would
you
anyone ever haggle?
Not today.
I mean, I'm guessing nobody haggled. I think we just went, thank you very much. And also because at that time, with the exchange rate, the pound was very, very strong, so it made no difference really to us. It was just like quite a fascinating, quite a fascinating aspect of life there.
Yes.
But the sort of personal victim of crime story I thought I'd share with you is that a few years ago, I was the victim of identity fraud.
Ooh.
And it was a quite surreal experience because it's funny you mentioned Friends. It very much echoed the experience of Monica in Friends when she's a victim of identity fraud. So somebody set up, I don't know if it's a person or a whole fleet of thieves, but they set up 10 accounts in my name for TV subscriptions and phone companies. And quite interestingly, a few were with banks. And, you know, I'm like a starving comedian. And to open a bank account, you know, you have to put money in. And for a bit, I was slightly richer because of this. But they opened up all these accounts and suddenly I realised because BT phoned us to say, we're so sorry you're leaving us. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then we had, I think, quite an emotional conversation. Like, the relationship was breaking up. But when we discovered what was going on, we explored it. We went to the police. We got a crime number and they gave us all this advice. And actually, Bennett Aaron, if you know him, he's an expert in this. He helped me to find out what I had to do. And then I tried closing these accounts and I phoned all the companies and I gave them my details and I gave them the crime number. And they kept asking me for my security information because, all these, whenever anyone has an account for anything, you need a security, your security questions. Now, I know my security questions because they're things like, your mother's maiden name or your first pet or these aren't my questions, listeners. But I didn't know the thieves' mother's maiden name what their first pet was called or any of that, where they, the road where they grew up.
Shit.
Or their, so it was quite challenging because they were very jobs worthy and this was... It was very, very difficult. But eventually I got most of them sorted.
You and then hacked them.
I have many jokes about that. but eventually I got them all sorted apart from one of the banks, like the bank that had the most transactions going in and out of it that were nothing to do with me at all.
Wow.
And they seemed not massively interested. And there were, it was quite a challenge for me as a performer. And I guess you'll empathise with this because I'm speaking to the person and, you know when you know they're not really taking notes?
Yeah.
I could sense they're not writing it down. And I said, I'd like to make sure you've got a record of this. And they said, that's fine. This call is being recorded. So I said, great. Can I have a copy of the recording? And they were like, no. And I realised that what upset me more than being ripped off by these people was the fact that this person wasn't listening to me.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't have somebody's attention for 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's
who I didn't
crazy.
Know and had nothing to do with. That was very traumatic. But there was an entertaining aspect of it, which is that for accounts with banks and things, they often need your middle name, right? And these people who were stealing from me, I don't know if it's stealing, the identity fraudsters, is I think as a crime podcast, you know, that's the official title. they'd guessed at my middle name.
Wow.
And I found that quite frustrating because I am a Jewish public figure. I'm very findable. Just Google me. Look at my website. But they'd made no effort at all to find out anything about me.
They didn't do their research.
No research, which I think is very offensive. And my middle
initial... I hate impersonal fraud. Oh.
Exactly. It's very upsetting. And I know that this is the case because of what they guessed my middle name was. And I'm going to tell you, my middle initial is A. So I don't know, do you want to have any guesses what my middle name might be?
Anna?
No. But Grigas.
I really want to get this.
Yeah. Game
just
on.
Look at my lily white face and blonde hair. Have a good guess.
Ariel?
No, great guess. I mean, this is going to be your most interesting episode.
Arabella.
That's a posh name. No, not me. I'll tell you what they guessed it was. I won't tell you my real name because it's got to have some secrets. it was Adefalaki.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
That Nigerian name proves a distinct lack of Googling.
Images. Wow.
That's awesome.
That is my identity fraud story. And
Hang on, if we had guessed your middle name, would you have said, yes, that's it?
We'll never know.
Oh my God.
We'd have had to read her face very carefully.
You'd have had to open an account in my name.
Or like, in theory, we could just Google this. if it's out there on the internet.
You can make it like a competition for listeners. What do they win? They win an account with Sky, which I don't have. So, yeah, they can have that. Or they can have that bank account.
That would be a fun challenge. Who can now defraud Rachel next?
did they make you, like, guess at the security questions? Or did you just have to say, look, like, I don't know?
They didn't, but one of the banks, the woman felt very sorry for... the assistant, she felt very sorry for us and she just tried to give us clues. But the clues were like, I use this and I use that. I use my pet, I use my whatever. So by the end of it, I still can open my account, but I could have hacked into hers.
Right. Oh my God, that's amazing. I love the story of the woman trying to help you with these clues. They're not allowed to do that. That's amazing.
It wasn't very specific. It wasn't like, it starts with an A, it's an animal with a long nose, it loves to eat ants. But it was more
so. Your middle name is Aardvark.
Got it.
Oh man, when people pleasers work in security, what's going to happen?
I always think that about, like, one of my security questions is like, who was your best friend at school? And like, I flip-flopped so much at school. Yeah, it's like, right, okay, are we talking year five? Are we talking year seven? Are we talking year eight?
Yeah, is it before she double-crossed me? Like, yeah. Is it after the geography field trip?
Exactly, like, certain years, was it my mum? Like, you know, yeah, who did I put there?
I hear you. And then you had your in-school best friend and your out-school best friend. It's a complicated matter.
Yeah, who was your best friend from youth club in 1997 would be the question that I need. Right.
Yeah, November 1997.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if, like, the people that wrote the questions took all this into account? And the question was, who was your best friend before Shelley messed everything up?
Well, of course, like, because I put all my life out on stage all the time, my fraudsters could have really done that. I mean, they could have used my real best friend.
You gave them everything. They could have done proper work.
So that just teaches you that if you're lazy, you deserve getting nothing. Like, I mean, you deserve your poor result. Because it's lazy.
Yeah, yeah. They drop the ball.
Fraudsters, do better.
Yeah. Work harder. Yeah. Work smarter.
If you're going to fraud comedians, they're all over the internet. Come on.
Just YouTube.
Do you know what the next question that we always ask is, what would you say to the people that, you know, that did this to you? But I guess it's, try harder, but also, have you got anything to add?
I think I'd say learn Google. Or maybe they should get one of those, business self-help books. You know, like, there are people really into that, and just read it, like, have a think about your career direction, because whatever you do, you should aim to do it the best that you can.
Yes.
So if you want to be a criminal, like, be the best criminal. Don't be like a half-hearted.
Yeah. You know, reach for the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have some direction. I'd give them, or change direction if you want. Go straight and be on the, you know, an innocent person from now on. I like to think that the annoyance of dealing with me probably put them back onto an even keel. And now they're all social workers.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We are going to move on to our true crime part of the podcast. And in a very sort of Taylor Glenn on April Fool's Day way, what I thought I would do is pick a theme and choose some smaller cases around it. So these last few weeks, I've been doing some wedding planning, guys. No big deal. God.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Should
going
I muzzle
on about
to
it.
Of you?
Sorry?
Should I muzzle to of you?
Well, yeah. Well, in, when am I getting married? April.
Next, I mean, all that you
May,
know,
next,
Hannah.
Yeah. I'm doing wedding planning, but everything is going to be on a different day because I don't even know the day of my own wedding. But yeah, so...
Rachel, how do you actually mazel tov someone? Because I only know it as the expression mazel tov, but how do you do it?
That was it. I went
mazel tov. Oh, so you've done it. Okay.
That's it. We're done.
I'm sorry. I got really excited that there was like a ritual. All right, fine.
Oh, I'm such an idiot. What a wasted opportunity to pretend there was a massive ritual. And I don't mind
moment.
Just standing up now. And
I teed it up.
You'll have to put your hands on your head and then, you know. Oh, I'm so annoyed at myself. I had a friend who was coming to do a workshop in my synagogue, a non-Jewish comedian friend. And he said to me, is there anything I need to know? And I said to him, you'll have to shave your beard off, I'm afraid, to come in. And he was like, what, really? So I said, no, you have to shave your beard off. It's an important rule for Jewish men. And he was like, oh, right. I mean, I want to be respectful. And I said, just think about what I've just said and everything you've seen involves Jewish men. How likely is that to be true? And I feel like I gave in too quickly, but really... It's not as bad as missing the mazel tov. That's going to annoy me now forever.
It's like living on the Isle of Wight. People do ask, like, do I have to bring a passport? And the amount of people that you just go, oh, yeah. And they end up, like, getting a new passport, spending upwards of, like, 100 quid.
An old colleague of mine asked that about the Woolwich Ferry, so...
No, that's a lot.
But you know what? You're doing these people a favour. Now they have a passport. They can have us, well, not in pandemic times, but or in Brexit times. Yeah, they can't be spontaneous. I take it back.
But they can vote now, apparently, because you're going to need photo ID. Ridiculous.
I'm going to have to call the fraudsters back up and get all my details just for the voting.
What I thought we'd do, because I've been doing some wedding planning, I thought I'd take the theme of weddings and love and give them a crime-based twist. So being up to the article where I got a lot of these, this was from a BBC article from 2014, a guy called Jeremy Clay, who wrote a book called The Burglar Caught by a Skeleton, which I just thought was such a good name for a book. And I think it's I've ordered it. I think it's about like lots of little true crime stories.
Ooh.
Which I actually quite like. I'm quite excited to sort of just share tiny little stories with you. So
yes.
All I can picture is Kill Bill, just so you know.
So the first stop on the Love Bus is to a workhouse in Deptford, London. It's 1892, and we're with a heartbroken Jack McKenna, who is dying of influenza alongside his young daughter. Now, they ended up in the workhouse as a few years before, Jack's wife ran off with someone to America. First question, who did she run off with? It's no one famous or anything. It's more EastEnders than that. So think quite local. Who did Jack's wife run off with?
Was it her mother?
Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. But it feels like you have to answer that with a
did
yes.
Did she have a girlfriend? So she ran off with her girlfriend.
Interesting. Okay, we've got mother, girlfriend.
That doesn't explain. It's not very often that the woman leaves and then the man ends up in the poorhouse. Did she run off with his employer?
Interesting. Well, that's good detective work there, actually.
It is.
Yeah, like logically thinking, that's a good
I mean,
point.
In the olden days, obviously now women can do whatever they want until they hit that glass ceiling, am I right?
And it was Jack's best friend.
He's always the best friend.
Oh no.
Why is he in the poorhouse though?
Do you know what? I'm not sure, but that's where he ended up. Probably maybe through this illness that he couldn't work. And if you can't work back in the Victorian days, that's it. For a start, I've got to say, I love a man who has a best friend. Adorable. I just really like that.
Men should have more friends.
Yes,
this is a good thing for them.
I think so. I'm just trying to think of like, what's the like kind of manly version of those necklaces that say best friends?
That, like, shoes? Like one shoe each?
One shoe each?
Well, you get two pairs of shoes that are the same. But like, one of your rights on your right shoe and one of your rights on your left shoe.
I like it. Men.
Left ball, right ball.
Left ball, right ball.
I'm on it.
I mean, that is a commitment, I'd say.
One would hang slightly lower than the other and he'd be like, I'm Jack, you're Ben, you're lower. And then he's like, lower? I'm fucking your wife. See, I'm just bringing it back to the case.
She's moved to California with Jack's best friend, whilst Jack and his daughter only had a few shillings to live on. So they moved to America to make their fortune. What do you think they were doing? Why would people move to America in 1890s?
1890s?
I mean, you're about to discover how little I know about history. I don't even read fiction books that are set before the year I was born, because I don't know. Was it to do with a gold rush?
Okay, we've got gold rush. Any advance on gold rush?
Well, that's where my head went. And I'm from the damn place. And I'm like, when was the gold rush? Because when you say California, that's just where my head goes, like heading west.
I'm going to go, was it that they were like, America was expanding into, you know, territories, and then they were like giving free land to like married couples or something?
Okay. Again, loving this logical brain. But actually, Miss, I don't know anything about history. It was the gold rush.
No way.
Yes, smashed it.
Please, can you just call my mum quickly and tell her? She'll just be so happy I knew the answer to something.
Do you know what? The amount of times on this podcast where I've just like guessed something and it's been right. And it's based, like literally based on nothing. Like, I don't know where any of my knowledge comes from, but they went to mine for gold, leaving Jack and his daughter. And within a couple of years, Jack and his daughter had both caught flu and were dying in the workhouse. One day, someone turns up and asks for Jack by name. Who do we think it is?
A fairy godmother who's really dropped the ball.
Is it a relative? I'm hoping it's good news. Like, I want this to have a nice little happy ending. It probably does not.
Oh, it's going to be the priest or something, isn't it?
I'm your rich Aunt Edna.
It's going to be like, I'll do the death rites. You're dying.
How many years later was it after they'd left?
A couple of years later.
I was going to say it was their child, but no, that would be down in town, unaccompanied minor travelling in the 1890s.
Toddling.
Was it a private investigator?
Ooh, nice.
Oh, that's
nice.
A good guess.
That is a good guess.
I'll tell you who it was. It was his wife. Begging her to have him back.
I was thinking it's one of those two come back.
Damn.
Right.
Yeah. It turns out his best friend had died and she'd come back begging forgiveness. What do we think, Jack? Do we think, did he take her back?
I mean, he's quite in quite poor shape, I imagine, from the workhouse and the flu. I suspect there wasn't a vaccination program. So I think probably for the comfort and to help look after the daughter, I think he would take her back.
Yeah. I think he tried really hard not to, but when she grinned and it was all gold teeth, he was like, well, I cannot say no to that.
I mean, the thing is, he's in horrific condition. So I reckon he says yes.
But maybe in a kind of resentful way that he sort of takes her back, but always niggles about it when, you know, always
whatever
she says or does, whatever, there's like a mutter under the breath about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, at least I didn't run off to America. Oh, sorry. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Since we keep talking about friends.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
No. I was just thinking, like, it's there. We were on a break. It's gold rush.
Absolutely.
Don't mention the gold rush.
What kind of milk do you want in your tea? American milk? I don't know. I think it'll be like Passags all the time.
Yeah. If anything, like, I'm surprised that she went back. Like, you can't fuck someone over that hard and then just be like, I think I'll pop back. But
I don't think you watch the same television programs that I watch.
She nursed him and their daughter back to health. But there's a little twist in the tale as to what happened next. What do you think happened?
Oh no! Oh! She gets accused of murdering the guy.
Oh, okay.
The dead guy.
She's accused of murdering the best friend.
Yeah.
I don't think I can top that. I was going to say that the baby runs away to America, but it's the same issue, isn't it, with the unaccompanied minor? Can I say the same as Katie?
Yeah, we do that all the time.
You know,
female workplace.
I've listened to a lot of episodes of this, but I've never registered whether ever anyone says, oh, I just agree with that person.
No, I do it all the time. I'm about to start doing it.
Absolutely.
I nearly did it with your gold rush one, but I thought, I'll try and be different.
Don't do that. I think that's it. Accused of something nefarious, murdering the geezer.
Yeah. You're saying there's a twist in the story.
It's a twist.
My head went to, it might just because we've had cases like this recently, that it's not actually his wife. It's someone posing as her.
Ooh.
But what would you stand to gain from a fluey man with no money?
I mean, it depends what you're leaving.
Yeah.
True.
That's a very good point too.
Well,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
What is it?
Well, she caught the flu from him.
Shut up.
She died of pneumonia. And then all the money that she and his best friend had earned in the gold rush was suddenly Jack's.
This is like a beautiful story of, you know, karma.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Twilight Zone meets karma.
So how much do you think he was left with? You can do it in that money or like today's money.
Okay.
I know we need to think of the money, but like, wait one little second here. She nurses him back to health and the daughter back to health. She then gets ill. Is nobody nursing her back to health? Is he just like, we can make your own toast?
He's saying, oh, they probably had doctors in America.
Yeah, he's bringing it up.
Because, like, if someone's nursing you back, like, if he's got a version that you can recover from and she's caught it from him, in theory, she could recover too. It just feels like she took better care of him than he did of her.
Okay.
Maybe he was only partially nursing her, like fake nursing. Like his fingers were crossed. He'd be like, there, but his fingers were crossed behind his back. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
I don't
Maybe
have empathy.
Maybe he coughed in her tea.
I know he might still be bitter and stuff. Does he know she's got money?
The equivalent of today's money, £2 million, Hannah.
Okay, we've gone in at 2 million. That's bold. What have we, but not necessarily wrong.
All right, 600 million.
I was going to go for this. I'm going to go for 100,000 because schlepping all that gold back, that would have been heavy.
Yes, it is heavy. That's
realistically,
true.
How much can you bring?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. In today's money, 1.2 million.
Ooh. Nice.
And in olden timey's money, it was like 62,000.
Wow.
So if, Rachel, you could argue that you were going in old money, so 100,000 was quite close.
It was very similar to what's happened with my rent.
Do we know what became of the best friend?
He died.
He died. That's why she came back.
But we don't know how.
We don't know how. This is the thing about the, like, I like the, most of these tales have a little kind of like twist to them, but we don't actually know that much about them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just wonder, I wonder if she like bumped him off.
Well, I heard he was allergic to gold.
It makes him go green like the Elizabeth Duke stuff you can get from like Argos. So the next stop on the love bus is Marion, Virginia.
Toot toot. I feel like we need a sound effect for the love bus. Meep meep.
Thank you very much. We're in the same time frame, so we're in the 1880s, and this time we're with 18-year-old Millie Downs. Now, Millie's lover, James Fauntleroy, was in jail, accused of attempting to kill someone who fancied her.
Wow, his name is Fauntleroy and he's in jail.
Yeah, is that a posh name, Fauntleroy?
Lord Fauntleroy, it's a thing.
It's like a mean, like, yeah, it's an insult to call someone posh. Like, oh, you're too posh to do this.
Yeah.
That's because of that book. Yeah, no, it's a book, a story.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, so that's where it comes from. That is his name. But yeah, he was in jail, accused of killing, attempting to kill someone else who was, you know, after her affections. So Molly, on the night in question, turned up on the prison grounds with two men at midnight. What do you think she was planning to do?
Wait, was it Molly or Millie? I heard Millie. Is it Millie or Molly? This makes all the difference.
It's Molly.
Molly. Can you ask the question again? I'm so sorry.
What are her and the men going to do at the prison?
Yeah, she turns up at night mm-hmm. on the prison grounds with two men at midnight. What do you think she's doing there? What's her plan?
Well, it's either to break him out or to kill him.
Okay.
It's got to be to break... Well, unless she fancied the other guy more that he killed.
Right, so he's killed somebody that she was in love with. Okay.
Maybe she came to do some kind of show when they were her backup dancers because it can get lonely in prison.
We've got backup dancers.
A bit of entertainment.
Yeah. I like that.
Look, Johnny Cash got started that way. A lot of very fine musicians.
Jailhouse Rock.
See?
Massive hit.
Yeah.
No.
I'm wondering why the two men, because I feel like, yes, she's going to break him out, although there could be a twist on this. But if, what would you use two men for? I automatically go like brute force. So what was the setup of the prison? Okay. One of them will create a diversion. The other one will break the bars open like a cartoon.
One of them will tell you how much a train ticket costs.
In Minsk.
Well, I'll give you a clue. One of them was a priest.
Oh, so maybe support him in... She must have assumed that he was going to be found guilty. And so she came to support him in his final hours and get the... Is it called the last rites?
Yes, it is. But it sounds like she's going to kill him and do the last rites and then kill him. One of them's a priest to do the last rites and then the other one's a murderer.
It's really nice to bring a priest along when you're going to kill somebody. It's very respectful.
I'm probably wrong.
That's optimum passive-aggressive, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to kill you. You can say your last rites first.
You might get into heaven. Here we go.
It's next level. I'm quite impressed.
Do you know what? It's a shame because that is better than what it is, to be fair.
That's so true in life. Yeah. So many things.
Now do a mazel tov.
My hands are on my head.
Actually, do you know what?
I'm doing the special actions.
we all have to do it.
Mazel tov is completely right. Because she got married to him.
Oh. Of course, priests can do happy things. I just associate them with the bad stuff.
Isn't that sad?
And I think it's terrible for someone who's watched as much Love After Lockdown as I have during this pandemic, that wasn't my first assumption.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Is that show any good? Because I've seen adverts for it.
Oh, people
just
rave
like...
about it. I haven't watched it. Is it really
addictive?
I don't
know what to tell you. Because yes, but also no. Like all those pandemic shows that everyone's watched, like Tiger King, it's the worst thing ever, but also the best thing ever.
Right. So,
yeah.
Oh, that was the best thing ever.
I didn't watch Tiger King.
What?
I mean, I was very busy.
They're making a TV series of it, and Kate McKinnon's going to play Carol Baskin, so that might draw you in.
And
what's
also
funny about that is that there already was a TV series of it.
I know.
It was on TV.
Oh, wow. That's also crazy. Apparently Nick Cage is going to play your man.
Is he? That's amazing casting.
That is so good.
It's like, should we try and find someone more bonkers than the Tiger King guy?
Nick, can you bring it back just a little bit? Just tone it down. Tone it down. Wow.
Maybe real best friends in Tiger King put a bit of sardine oil on the right shoe and then the left shoe.
Yes, yeah.
That's a very niche comment,
isn't it?
It is. Dan Gold's
like,
really understanding
the
Carol Baskin and the threats.
Are going to really enjoy that.
You're going to get tweets.
It's good.
Guys, why was she planning to get married to James? It is because she loves him. But
is she pregnant?
Okay, we've got pregnancy. Any advance on pregnancy?
Is he
that's
rich?
Where my head went.
Is he rich? That's a good one.
Like, does she, like, yeah, Preg is excellent as well. But, like, if she's, if he's, if he's got money and he's going to be put to death, she gets the money, right?
Interesting. Okay. About money. Okay.
His name is Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
Maybe just for those conjugal visits, right? I don't think you can.
Yeah, she was just horny.
Taylor's mind is in the gutter.
When I'm horny, I grab a priest.
Please get the government and God to sanction my sexual activities.
Well, it was because Molly was the only witness to the attack. Now, by marrying Fauntleroy, she wouldn't
testify.
Be able to testify against him. Because you can't testify against your own husband back in those days.
That's, I bet all the people listening at home are going to be like, why did no one say that? That was a really good.
I thought you were going to say, I bet all the people at home are thinking, I should have married that ex so that then I wouldn't have to testify against him.
So the two men were a priest and her brother, and they found James's cell window. He and Molly held hands through the bars and the minister conducted a covert ceremony. Wow. Why do you think they were almost caught? What happened there, do you think?
I mean, maybe because there's a prison and three people rocked up unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's completely
Excuse me, reception. Diane, did you walk away from reception again? The last time, Diane.
They were almost caught, but not caught.
Yeah.
They ran away before they got caught.
Yeah,
well, was it when he stamped on the glass and everyone shouted Mazel Tov?
Was it the traditional wedding march? Because it's really, really loud, not really subtle.
Or maybe there was like another cellmate that had FOMO and they were like, can't believe you didn't invite me to your wedding, even though I'm right here. And then he started shouting, God, they're getting married, and they didn't even invite me.
But also, if they have to do it covertly, how does it then legally, I mean, I don't know how things are working back then. Like, really, this is going to be legit?
Yeah, what's this priest? Is he a disgraced priest? Why is he doing this?
Well, this is a good question, isn't it? Because actually, like, generally you have to get married somewhere where it's legit. But apparently back in the day, this was going to be okay if there was the priest there and they did the whole thing.
Or if the prison was on a boat.
I think prisons probably count as registered places.
Because
you have to perform different rites and rituals in prisons anyway.
Yeah,
you can marry someone in a prison. And I've never heard, and I have watched a lot of trash television, I've never heard of them coming out of prison and saying, well, now we have to marry again because it wasn't legal.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm not an
that
expert.
Makes sense.
I am.
That
expert.
Would be great to get married in a prison when neither of you are in prison, though. What a setting.
Be like, hey,
what a
Vegas.
Metaphor.
We could have done Vegas, but this is kind of more, you know, more gritty.
I can absolutely guarantee that people have tried. Definitely.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I was like a teenager, I used to play in a badminton league because, yeah, I guess I was cool, guys. But like,
what's your name, Fauntleroy?
But basically, we had to play badminton. Well, we didn't have to, but in the league, one of the people's courts was in the prison. You literally had to go into the prison and you play on the prisoners. It was like Camp Hill or something on the Isle of Wight.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of insane because I was quite interested in prisons. I was like, Whoa, when going into the prison, I had to give my phone over just to play like a badminton Isle of Wight league so game.
That is badass minton is what that
whose
is.
Whose league was in the prison?
Camp Hill B, I think they were called. But they weren't prisoners or anything. It was like, it was just a bunch of sort of like old women. It was like, it was
but
bonkers.
The prison had the best courts? Why? I don't understand.
To this day, I don't know why I was in that prison.
I love memories like this where you're like, I do not know why this happened, but I went along with it because I was young.
Is that, you know, when you do something for the first time, like you join a new team somewhere and they do that thing of like, everyone say a really interesting fact about yourself.
Hate it.
I played badminton in prison. Oh, God, Hannah, really? Wow.
Oh my God, I love it now. I didn't realize I had a good one. You've just given it to me.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's and excellent. Also, if ever you play that game where you have to like say two lies and a truth or whatever, mm-hmm. you can say you play prison in badminton and everyone will think, until they hear this podcast, they'll think you're lying.
Yes, yeah. Oh God, this is going to pay dividends. This is brilliant.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So apparently what happened is that Molly kept kissing his hands and crying. She was being really loud. But also, her brother had to put her on his shoulders for the whole of the ceremony.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a religious tradition.
Yeah. But it was because the window was like high. So the only way they could touch was if she was on his shoulders. And he was just like, you have to get down. This is so heavy. They managed to pull her away. And the next day, the constable at Marion in Virginia got wind of the ceremony and was so disgusted by being outsmarted. What do you think he did?
Did he go to the prison with two backup dancers?
We've got backup dancers. Anyone else?
Did he somehow pass a law saying that any marriages in a prison don't count?
Okay, use the law against them.
Yeah, more sensible answer, actually. I probably should have given it a slightly more than 30 seconds of thought.
Did he report the priest and try to...
Ooh, delegitimize it.
That defrock
him. I can't think of the word.
Is it defrock?
Get him struck off.
Defrocked.
Did he say that the brother would have to testify? The prison mate.
Okay, ooh. Well... Apparently, according to this, he took to his bed where he almost slipped into a coma.
Had he caught flu off the previous people?
Yeah, I had him as vengeful.
What a tough-ass constable. Like, oh, I need to lie down.
Was it man flu?
It may well have been. But yeah, he was just so, like, he literally just went home and went to bed and was just so pissed off.
Aw.
You know.
I mean, we've all felt like that.
I wish that was like a legitimate way of dealing with a problem.
Do we know then, did this guy get let off eventually? Like how, do we know what happened?
Yeah, does their plan work?
I'm not sure, but I assume it does because there was no other witnesses and she can't testify against him.
Wow.
Yeah, but
well,
again.
What happened to the guy who got attempted murdered? Because attempted murder isn't murder.
Yeah, he's still
presumably
out there.
He survived.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did survive. So it's hard to say. I don't know. I don't know what actually happened in the end, but
this is like Lost.
Imagine this. Imagine the wife, sorry, passing the guy who survived the murder. And I'm just picturing the awkward eye contact they'd make because he'd be like, you were there.
Yeah. What a weird law, though, isn't it? That, like,
yeah,
can't testify against your husband. I guess that's just to protect men, I suppose.
I mean, could you testify against your wife? Is this equal opportunities? Stupid.
Do you know what? I always thought it was that you can choose not to. It's not that you cannot. It's that it affords you,
right, by law.
Yeah, the right not to.
Okay.
I feel like this is important information we should get at school. you know when they do sex ed and you learn all different stuff about relationships, I think you should learn whether you can testify against your partner.
We need to know once and for all.
I'm starting to change
get tested
condition
know
right
how
now.
To testify.
We need to know about consent, and also, can you testify?
Guys, we're getting back on the love bus, toot toot. This time we're in Vegas.
Honk honk. It's getting more urgent, you see.
That's a good noise.
It's 1892. And we've got two men in love with the same woman. Taylor's old as time. So we've got an American guy and a Mexican guy. And the guy from Mexico said to the American that he was from a nation of cowards. So this was a kind of...
What, he said the American was from a nation of...
Yeah, so the Americans from a nation of cowards. So there was a lot of beef between these guys. They were in love with the same women. They had been insulting each other. So they've got to have a fight. But because they've been taunting each other so much, their fight went a bit crazy. So straight up, what do you think this fight entailed? And I'll give you a clue. It involved animals.
Jousting?
Jousting.
Oh, like a cockfight? Okay. But not as you think.
I mean, it's definitely a cockfight. That, you know, metaphoric. I mean.
Was it bears?
Was it bears?
Why not? Bears. Actually, was it kangaroos? Because they are brilliant fighters.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you've got a fight and you've got some animals, kangaroos can box, is that right?
Box and kick.
Okay.
And I keep designing the best testicle necklace in my head. So if I space out, it's just because I'm trying to get the design just right, because I really might launch this. Anyway.
Or also, I suppose...
I'm sticking with cockfight.
My jousting is still in the mix, I think.
Jousting. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what it is.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah. I'll give you more of a clue. So basically, one man said to the other that they wanted them to join him in a darkened room. And it all goes a little bit, I'm a celebrity. What do you think was in the darkened room?
Bats. Was it bears?
Bats, bears...
I love this.
It sounds like Arya in Game of Thrones when she learned to fight when she was blind.
Okay.
I just want you to know I would totally watch this if it was on any Freeview channel.
Well, I mean, it's...
Rats. Like, I'm going to change it to rats.
Rats, okay. Mm. And do you remember in Hook, did you ever see Hook?
Yeah.
And there was the boo box. Do you remember the boo box? And like men would be put in, pirates would be put into the boo box.
I actually don't remember.
I watched like 5 minutes of Hook. I thought it kind of blew. I mean,
I've seen it loads of times, but not recently.
I didn't memorize it. I didn't know it was going to be a test.
I'm going to be bringing up a lot of 90s children's films. I hope you don't mind.
Boo box, so it's scary.
So basically, it was a room of tarantulas and scorpions.
Damn it, I was going to say spiders.
Wow.
There you go.
So what, they fight each other while surrounded by spiders? How is this?
Well, this is the thing. It wasn't quite clear, but they go into a darkened room. And I think basically the idea is it's the I'm a celebrity thing. It's who can sort of stay in there longest without freaking
out. Because they'd be calling each other cowards.
Oh, yeah.
So this was like... Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So no one wanted to be seen as a coward.
They've
so they were
cussing
like,
each other out.
Yeah, it's been like everyone else will say, take it outside. And I'm saying, take it inside.
Yeah.
The spider and scorpion house.
Yeah. They've
straight
been trash,
to London Zoo.
Trash talking, but can they do trash walking?
I just love how elaborate it is as well. It's just like, just have a punch up or something. Just like, do that rather than
who set it up?
Right.
Is this a thing? Or
how
did they come
how
up with
easy
it?
Is it to get hold of that quantity?
Yeah, how
of
bored are these people?
Tarantulas.
Yeah. You'd have time to cool off. You'd be like, it's the kind of thing you'd say, like, yeah, fuck it, let's do that. And then by the time you've
bored,
by the
time you're in
the
old, your adrenaline's gone, you're like, oh wait, I said I'd do what?
Yeah, that is the level of effort that the people who defrauded me did not play.
Exactly.
But also, if you're okay with it for 5 minutes, you're probably going to be okay with it indefinitely. So the thing that's going to get you out isn't that you're scared. It's going to be like, I'm really hungry. Like, it isn't even going to be the...
Yeah.
And also, right. Did they have the things with the stars screwed on them that they had to get for dinners later?
Yeah, exactly. They got some food in the pub later.
How many
the
meals
casino.
For the camp?
Yeah. Well, basically, they went in there, and within a few minutes, the Mexican guy was screaming that he was bitten, he was dying. So the doors were opened and he ran out and fell to the floor. So do you think he'd actually been bitten? If not, what do you think had actually bitten him?
Was it the other guy?
Okay, we've got the other guy.
I mean, I love the idea that there was just a fly in there who bit him. He ran out because of a fly.
Yeah.
A fly, Katie?
So he genuinely appears to feel something, and there might be an explanation that it's something else, but not a spider or a scorpion.
Was he bitten by the racism of the day? Because this story does have that air of, this sounds like an American man story. Like, this guy called me a coward, so guess what I did? I put him in a box of bugs, and he ran out.
Yeah.
He hadn't been bitten.
Was it radioactive, whatever bit him, and did he become a superhero?
Spider-Man.
Very important question.
Spider-Man's origin story.
Maybe there were some candles and some wax fell on him and it felt like a bite.
Okay. Well, it was, yeah, this is the thing. This is why I like asking questions like this, because the thing is, the answer is that he scratched himself on a nail on the wall and he thought, oh shit, that was a spider bite, and he panicked. And like, but I love the sort of like the explanations you guys come up with. They're great.
And also, he should have just reached out and unscrewed the star for the dinner.
Oh yeah, exactly. And then he would have had a nice meal, and one. I mean, I guess got to keep the girl because women are property, I suppose.
And yeah,
I forgot there was a girl involved in all this. Like, how did we get with these bugs?
Do you think she's there watching them going, oh my God, you screamed less. I really have to have you now. Like, what's that?
I know.
Is she in on this, or is she like, oh, I didn't even know.
I love a man that can take bugs crawling on his face.
This is so hot that you both put in a box full of spiders for me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the minimum I would expect.
this is, we should do, that can be the next lesson in schools. Consent, whether you can testify, would your potential partner sit in a box full of spiders for you?
I mean, it's not a traditional part of a Jewish courtship, but we could pretend.
So the love bus is now stopped at some traffic lights in Victorian England in Lancashire. Traffic lights weren't actually invented until 1912. Big up 1912.
Nice.
But I've picked the love bus now, so I'm sticking to that. So we've got a married couple, Mary and Solomon, and they don't have a great relationship. Now, in Victorian Britain, you had to be pretty rich to get a divorce, and it's not readily available to everyone. So what do you think people did, specifically husbands, if they couldn't afford a divorce? What do you
Was it beheaded, something?
Was it? Yeah, it was behead. Oh, I can't remember it.
Divorce, behead, died. Divorce, behead, survive.
I mean, that sounds as accurate as anything
I'm
could guess.
I'm correct, I swear to
God. I reckon Solomon did the crowdfunding of his day. I bet that he would plead his case to as many mates as he could and be like, if you just each throw in a tuppence or whatever it would have been, like, eventually I'll have enough. She's a nightmare. Look at her.
And he'll be like, you gave all that money to Nigel for his climbing of Everest. And
right.
To Eric for his skydiving. Like, and mine is really worth more.
Yeah. Exactly. Paul did the Three Peaks Challenge. This is just as important.
Honestly, that should be a sketch. So divorce is expensive. So it's just got to be cheaper than divorce. It could still be extravagant, like he buys a second home, or he just goes traveling. Like,
do you not just like have affairs?
Yeah.
I've heard that's a thing.
Yeah. I've heard of this too.
What is this affair you speak of?
Is he visiting sex workers?
Okay.
Was he doing that anyway? Is that why the marriage is so disgruntled? That's not a word for marriage, is it? Disrepair? Whatever.
I was trying to make something out of this and it is a cul-de-sac. So I'm going to reverse out of it right now. I was going to try and say about did he marry her and then say he couldn't testify against her, but it was going nowhere.
Oh,
I like it.
I appreciate the effort.
It's harder to do callbacks when I'm going to different, different crimes. So yeah. I appreciate the thought.
I made an effort, but it was too much, and also a lot of drinking.
Well, it was an old English custom of wife selling.
What?
Yeah. This is a thing that...
Oh, God. Why am I shocked?
I know,
like,
right?
My jaw dropped, and then it's like, really?
And also, I've said, what, about 8 times in this show so far. So, I mean, edit out a couple, maybe, because it's interesting. But wife selling.
Wife selling, not even swapping, selling.
Yeah, it's worse, right? Husbands would offer up their wives for auction to the highest bidder.
Oh, boy.
So sometimes these would take place in the town square. But to add insult to injury, in the case of Solomon and Mary, it was in the house they shared together. So he just did the auction at the house.
Nice.
I invited people round. I'm having a thing.
Yeah, exactly. We're having to do.
Yeah.
BYOB.
Should I make a salad? No, Mary, don't make a salad.
He's like, make good snacks because that'll count.
Yeah. Did she know? Like, was it a surprise or was this a shock? That's the same thing.
She did
shock.
And I believe she was not enjoying the marriage just as much as he was.
She might have thought, like, I'm going to get a better option. Like, this could be a win-win for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit, actually.
Is there an auctioneer? Because I'm just picturing, like, and we got 125, 125 for Mary, 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 very good. She's got nice hips, childbearing hips. 125, do I have 127?
This is so effed up.
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah. So what do you think someone did buy her? What do you think they bought her for?
Was it 1.1 million pounds?
Yeah, it was a decent proposal.
In today's money, Hannah?
Oh, no, in yesteryear's money, actually.
Yesteryear's money.
What's the currency?
There's some groats, I can tell you that.
Groats.
I mentioned groats today and my son did not believe that they existed. We had quite a big argument about it. I said, I'm not into centimetres and the metric system. I would like to go back to groats. And he was like, you're making that word up.
Do you know what? I literally only learned about it from our podcast about like 2 months ago.
Oh, same. Yeah.
They were made in Birmingham.
Groats?
Yeah.
He also thought I made up the word avuncular.
No, that means an uncle, right?
She was married to Trump, right?
it means like uncle-like behaviour.
Yeah. So
right.
Which can vary.
That can vary, yeah. To say the least.
Creepy or taking you to a football match.
Do you know, I didn't know what the word avuncular meant. So this is great.
Having fun and we're learning.
Yeah, we're laughing.
I think
you're welcome,
somebody
listeners.
Paid. Yeah, wait. What are it's some of like the coins pence. At the time? Pence. Oh, okay, so I was going to say 4 pence.
Okay, 4 pence. Any advance on 4 pence?
And we got 4 pence for Mary, Mary, Mary. Quite contrary.
I'm her just cooking may vary. Around this. This has just entered the realms of the animal case for me now. So 5 pence. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to say 75 pence. I think she deserves more.
Do you know what, Taylor? You've got it spot on. It was 4D, which was 4 pence.
No,
I have bought some wives in my day. It's time you knew.
Who buys her?
Was she in the sale?
This is the thing. So Solomon also wanted to throw in 3 other things into the bargain. What do you think they were?
Oh, it's stuff he wants to get rid of. So it's like... you know, that acupuncture mat that he never uses.
Foot spa.
Yeah.
Yes.
The treadmill.
Yeah, juicer.
That jumper that he doesn't like.
Are we just listing things we've bought over lockdown?
Yeah, pretty much. Poor cleaner.
Guys, you'll be pleased to know it was 3 children.
Children? You threw in children.
I know. This is, yeah.
You know what? We're being quite judgmental because we don't know how annoying those children were.
It's very true.
It's very true.
Poor whatever this guy's name is.
The buyer objected and the 3 kids were left with the father. Apparently, Mary was kind of thrilled to be leaving her husband. She was kind of like, this is fine. So, yeah, the last question is, who do you think the buyer was?
Some pervy old man that wants to fuck her with no kids around.
Okay.
Was it her correct. Husband's best friend?
Oh, husband's best friend.
That would
okay.
be a good full circle.
It would feel really nice, wouldn't it?
Who was it? The fact you're even asking that, it's either a very good friend or it's something creepier.
Yeah, it's someone within the community. Like, it's
was it Jack McKenna?
Or was it Jack McKenna?
Was it like the vicar or something?
Writing
was it
everything
a
down.
Phone killer.
It was their next door neighbor.
Oh,
really? That's very interesting when you think about how if they're in a terrace, I don't know if they are, you can hear a certain amount from your neighbours. So it was in a way quite an informed decision, I think.
Yeah.
She sounds good for me. I'd like to give that a go.
If my husband sold me to the neighbour, I would be extra loud in bed as soon as I swapped over. He'd be like, oh, I've literally never been.
Also, you know, then I guess she still gets to see the kids.
Yeah.
Is this just like some mad fucking ceremony? Because in those days you weren't allowed to just be like, oh, you know, I'm taking up with this guy now. So they had to pretend to do this whole big, oh, look, we've legally sanctioned women are property. Here's how we have to do it. But actually, everybody was quite happy with the whole thing. They just had to pretend because you're not allowed to choose your own path.
Yeah. What do you mean, like, were they carrying on before this occurred?
Yeah, was there like a whole plan? Like, and they all just had to, like, they're all in on it. This will make everyone happy, but you can't be seen to be fucking each other's neighbours. So they've got to, like, lay it on, be like, oh yeah, she's property, but then actually she's happy.
I'm just clinging to the formality. Like, but have you been auctioned? Oh, good girl.
Yeah, we need this in writing because you're not in charge of your body.
I want to know how Solomon spent the money.
Yeah, about 4 pence.
He got 17 oranges.
Good haircut and then went out dancing to meet his new beau.
He got a foot spa and he never used it.
Yeah.
So the love bus is almost at the depot now, or depot, as I'd been calling it up to about a year
ago. I'm not sure we can even call this a love bus. Depressing bus.
You said depot till a year ago?
Yeah, you know when you
just great.
Never...
I love the stuff that, just the stuff you've never said out loud.
Yeah.
But that's like... nice because it's like a blend of English and American.
There you go, it's perfect.
I'm still terrified to say GIF or GIF, whichever one it is.
GIF? What, for the phone thing?
For a GIF. It's a GIF, right?
I once read a meme that said you should never laugh at somebody who mispronounces something because it means they learnt it from reading.
Do you know where I learnt that? From Neighbours, where Paul Robinson, years ago, he married twins, not at the same time. He didn't have to auction anybody.
Yeah.
But their real names in real life, the actresses, were, or still are, I imagine, Gail and Gillian. And she was called Gillian because the mum had only ever seen the name written down.
Oh, wow.
I'm like a wealth of very useful facts. That's when the apocalypse good. Happens, I'm going to be like the sage that everyone comes to, the wise woman.
That's amazing, Gillian. Like, because I assumed it was a guy. I assumed that Gillian was just a name for like a guy called Gil, but like, it's Gillian. Wow, that's amazing.
True story.
Oh,
nice.
And Hannah, you might have children someday, so might I suggest Depot?
And Gillian for their middle name.
Problem is, like, I love Adair, so I definitely would call it Depot Gillian George.
Rachel, is your middle name Alice?
Wait.
Close, but not quite.
Okay. Been holding that in a long
time. Amy!
Do you know, I think I look like an Amy, but I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, we're almost at the depot. So some quick fire wedding questions. The white wedding dress trend started in 1840. Before then, brides
the
apparently...
What, the what started in 1840?
So like wearing a white wedding dress.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That started apparently in the 1840s.
What was it before that?
Before then, brides simply wore their best dress. Just the best dress they had didn't have to be white. Who do you think started that trend? You'll know.
Oh, see, I always thought it was Queen Victoria, so now I'm...
Well, it was. You're completely wrong.
That would have been my guess. But I was second guessing myself, because she was also Christmas trees, I think.
Mm.
She bet in so much shit. I just always forget how long she stuck around. I'm like, did it go back then?
Yeah, yes, there was no Netflix. Like, they had to make their own entertainment.
Yes. She normalized like getting with your cousin.
1936 to 1901, or sorry, 1836 to 1901 or something like that.
Bonkers, right?
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So that was her. So another quick fire wedding question. Traditionally, the bride stands on the groom's left side during a Christian ceremony. Why is that? Why is it the left side?
Is that because their left-hand side is your weaker arm? So, like, just so you won't be tempted to slap her. Because it does seem to be quite an aggressive time with selling people. And
it might as well
spider
be that, right?
Scorpion fights.
Whatever. Just for today, you're almost safe.
Yeah. I'll only hit you with my weaker arm.
Do you know what?
It's like how shaking hands, because it's something to do with when you shake hands with someone, you're putting your strongest hand out, so your weaker hand is the only one that could grab your weapon. And that's not a euphemism, that's a thing.
No, that's like an act of,
And absolutely, you're spot on, because once upon a time, the groom needed his right hand free to fight off other suitors, apparently. So it was because your right arm
Jesus Christ.
Is a better arm.
And I just always like to buy into the vibe of the era. That's what
You are spot on, but also how much more interesting would weddings have been?
It should have been me.
I was going to tell Hannah that, like, that's very commonplace even today. And if it doesn't happen, you should probably feel
not so great about yourself. That happened at my parents' wedding.
What?
Like, genuinely.
I'm gonna stop saying what.
Yeah. I just said what?
Someone had a reason to interrupt
the wedding. At the moment where they said, is there any reason why this man shouldn't be marrying this woman? A guy ran in, said, I should be marrying her today.
Shut up.
And my mum didn't know him, didn't know who he was at all. Apparently he'd done it a couple of times before. Yeah, I know, right?
Was it a practical joke, or was it a guy who just hung around the church to do that for hilarious reasons?
I think he had a few problems. I don't think he was... Yeah, he'd done it before.
The George family needs to stick to that story and that. That's fine. Jill George's secret dies with this.
It'd be amazing if he just kept doing it until one day, like, the wife had been waiting for an excuse to get out of this wedding. Ooh. And she's like, yes, I'm sorry. I love him. There's nothing I can do. Yeah, I never thought you'd want me.
Yeah, if that happened and she was like, okay, great, let's do it. And he'd be like, what?
Yeah. And also, like, back in the, I mean, God, they got married in the 70s or something. And like, You used to have to record the ceremony, so there's a cassette of it, so you can hear it happening.
Oh my God!
Because sometimes I'm always really like my dad, sort of like, I feel like he sometimes like makes the stories bigger, and I'm like, did a guy cough at that moment or something like that? But yeah, genuinely, that
so
like,
you've heard it.
Oh, that's wild! That's so great.
I know, it's mad because it's one of those things that you're like, oh, I don't want that to happen, but what a story!
What a story!
Yeah,
I would like to know. The origin of asking that question, was it did it originate in Christian weddings in particular? Was it a legal thing for somebody to go like, they're brother and sister? Do you know what I mean? Like, how far back does that question go?
Well, they're already married.
You're right. Yeah.
Bigamy.
Yeah. But do you know what? I don't know, but that's an interesting question.
I like to make Google lists before I go to bed. So
please do WhatsApp us all later.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I will.
And by that, I mean everyone that listens as well. So just give us your numbers and we will get back to you. So that brings us to the end of the wedding and love themed, which is more depressing than I thought it would be. But thank you, everybody. We did very well. So here's to hopefully not getting jilted at the altar. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Honk, honk.
Drunk women solving crime.
I would like to do our patron shout outs before we get to the listener crime, if that's all right. As always, it's hard to come up with a theme. And then I was like, I'm going to do some spoken words. So here we go. They say you get back what you give, however you live. It's called karma. But then again, if you change the M to an N, you get Karna. Thank you, Karna, for giving. We will try to give back in return what you've earned as a patron.
That was incredible.
That was really good.
Choose your body of water, son or daughter. Would you feel a shiver jumping in a river? Or what if you swim smaller scale? Don't need a fishtail. It's babbling. Take a look at Jemima Estabrook. Thanks, Jemima. Hope you enjoyed my rhyma. Next, who likes magic? Doesn't have to be tragic. Rabbits and hats, women sawn in half. They don't have to be like that. All you need is up your sleeve. Thank you for your magic, Genevieve 5C. What's the 5C for? Is that your apartment door? Or did autocorrect make a dent in your attempt? Either way, we say hey, thanks again. Do I sound like Christopher Walken? Names that go forward can sometimes go back. Names just like Eve or Hannah, in fact. I find these beautiful names wherever I roam, in the sweet land of the palindrome, which is not a palindrome itself. That's always bothered me, and I've never had an opportunity to say. Thank you, Anna, for letting me vent. You're a palindrome, and I'm so glad that you went and joined up on Patreon. It brings us such bliss. By the way, Anna's last name is Smith. That's it for this time. Join the club with a twist of lime. Patreon.com/drunkwomen solving crime.
Wow!
Taylor! Five stars, the Scotsman. That was amazing.
That'd be a first.
Mate, that was beautiful. Every single
thanks, patrons.
Yeah, brilliant. So, we've got just enough time for a listener crime. So I chose this one because two people in it end up getting married. So I thought, oh, links to the theme. It is not romantic in the slightest. Here it goes.
But do they marry each other?
They do get married. Dear drunk women, as a student, I lived in a house with three other people. I eventually got together with one of them, who is now my husband. The other housemate, my best friend at the time, didn't really like this, and it led to a big falling out. So all of us were not talking for several months.
One day, best friend a boy or a girl?
Oh, good question. I could tell you because she's put the suspects in a list and I just thought, I can't read them all out.
Is there a picture of them standing with their heights? And
Yeah, right. The housemate was female, a 23-year-old fashion marketing student and type 2 diabetic. She's gone into too much detail here. There's a fourth housemate, a 27-year-old fella, working as an architect, and then her and her husband.
Okay.
So now you'll hear about what the crime was. One day, I discovered a monstrous shit in the toilet. It was an absolute beast. It was so bad that it just wouldn't flush. I knew for a fact that it wasn't me or my husband, because we would have proudly taken responsibility for creating such a diabolically large turd. Several days passed where nobody took responsibility for it. As we weren't on speaking terms, we were communicating via passive-aggressive notes stuck on the bathroom door. Eventually, we managed to clear it. My housemate claimed she had poured bleach on it and that did the trick. But I'm pretty sure I slayed the beast by pouring a bucket of water on it when it was flushing. Help me settle this once and for all. Who did the monstrous shit?
Bleach presumably would have just cleaned it.
Yeah, like, I don't get the logic of that for like an actual shit. Who did it? Who managed to defeat it? Me or my former best friend? That is from Kia.
So we've got a male architect and then the female friend who doesn't like that she's marrying the other roommate.
Yeah. And then we've got her and her husband.
And we're taking her word on. I feel like, you know, maybe the bleach loosened it and then her and the bucket got rid of it.
Okay.
The teamwork.
Yeah. So this is like the pickle jar, Katie. This is,
yeah.
I loosened the lid.
I think maybe the husband did do it and just like and double kept on the down low. Yeah.
And maybe the best friend was right all along and he's a wrong and he doesn't admit when he's done a floater.
Oh, Kia, you might have made some bad life choices here.
Oh, boy.
I think if it floated, it would have been less of an issue.
Yes. Yeah. What was it? I looked into the other day why certain poo floats. Like, you know, because you're like, why sometimes does poo float and sometimes it doesn't? And you would please.
I mean,
know,
that's a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fat, it's because fat floats.
How is
so
it
the fattier, the higher the fat content. This is disgusting, but it will float the higher the fat content. Yeah.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Which is why they say that it's not great if your poo floats all the time.
But it's fine.
Is everyone thinking?
Right? I'm suddenly going like, oh shit, I'm going to maybe go vegan for a bit because I'm...
Do you know what? And I could be wrong. I'm like, do you know when you were saying like, you just come up with these things like gold rush? Like I have no idea where my little fat shit fact came from there. So it could be completely wrong.
It sounded very scientific to me. I believe you.
It sounds right. It sounds
shit
right.
Conviction. I think she wants us to say it's the friend.
Yeah.
But that makes me think it's not.
And it's interesting as well, the way she put, we would have proudly taken responsibility. Now, I think that's something you do a few years into a relationship if you both find that sort of stuff funny. But at the beginning, this is when they'd first met at uni, they weren't even together. And I think that, would they have proudly taken, if they were kind of courting at that point, would they have taken responsibility?
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were already married. I thought this was like, we were at uni, we got married, and then we still had our housemates and it was orcs.
Ah, no, the marriage came later, I believe.
Right. So,
that
puts
a whole different reflection. No, complexion.
Yeah, I think you can bring in the like proud shit sharing way too soon. That'll kill a relationship.
I'm just trying to think at what point in my relationship Rich started trying to call me.
I mean, it's a good question.
It was like, there was, I think in the early days, he'd say something. I think he'd say something like, oh, that's an amazing one. I mean, don't come in, but if you like, he'd sort of like be like, oh, you know, I'd want to show you it was amazing.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Go on.
And please pass this information on to your lovely husband. There's a website called Rate My Poo. And you take a photo of your masterpiece, I think is the way they would approach it, and you upload it onto the website. I mean, I think it still exists. I'll be honest, I haven't checked it recently, but someone in my family told me about it at some point, and you upload it and then people, you know, like it or dislike it, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Wow.
Give you a percentage, give comments, feedback. Yeah.
Do you know what? That is like, I'm so nostalgic for that website, because I remember when we first like got the internet in my school. Like, that was the website that went around and everyone was like, oh, my fucking God.
Oh, so it's really old.
Yeah, part of me doesn't want to go to it now, but I'd love to know if it still existed.
So millennials have We Want Plates, and it's just, you know, when food is served on a shovel or in a Petri dish or whatever. And, you know, back in the day, we had Rate My Poo.
Wow.
I love that. I love that the internet starts and people are like, what should we do with this wonderful gift?
I think it was her husband or her husband-to-be or her as yet unknown that he would be her husband's husband.
I don't think it was her husband. We shouldn't rule him out and it's good to suspect him. But I just feel like at this point he'd have said, oh, that was me.
You make a thing about it that it wasn't you, I mean,
like he'd find it funny now. If he's that proud of his poos, he'd find it hilarious to go, do you remember 3 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it was, that was me that did that shit. He'd find it really funny. So if he hasn't come forward, it probably wasn't him. So
what if it was a visitor? I mean, this is college. People are coming around. We had a guy, a friend of a friend, like he always did a shits at our place. I don't know what it was. Like, he would just relax the most.
Actually, I've had friends.
No toilet paper in his place.
Yeah.
Yes. We did always have a fresh roll, Rachel. You are spot on. So maybe it was a visitor and it wound everybody up, broke up a lot of friendships.
Yeah.
Or a ghost.
A ghost. I would go to Rate My Ghost Poo. I would never visit the other site.
Rate My Ghost Poo is just people going, it definitely wasn't me, but look at this.
Like, that all floats.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the vent. These people on this Rate My Poo show website.
That'd be bet that exists. I bet
it's Gillian McKee.
Hi, is that Netflix?
But this website, I would like to know the Venn diagram of the people that are actually parents that have done potty training, because I bet it's people that have, like, once you've potty trained, you're bored of poo. Like, it's not exciting. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I might be wrong. I'd be interested in another Venn diagram. Anyway.
Which of us are you expecting to investigate that?
Well, I mean, if somebody listening knows the algorithms, get in touch.
I bet whoever like founded ratemypoo.com is probably like some kind of tech billionaire now or something. Because if you can be doing that stuff so early on in terms of a...
It's probably Musk, isn't it?
We're talking about it now.
Yeah.
In 2021, and they must have started it in 97 or something.
I mean, it's amazing audience engagement.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible.
The longevity of shit is amazing. Who are the other suspects? So it's the best friend who's a lady, and then the other guy is a boy?
The architect.
Yeah.
Is he a boy?
Was he the architect of this colossal dump? That's what we
mean. Yeah. I was about to ask that, because if it was, I mean, it had stability and staying power, which is what you want from an architect's designs.
Yeah.
Did he eat how he planned?
Do you know what, Kia? I hope this has helped, because I'm now going, it was the architect because he's done such a sturdy poo. Oh, goodness me. This podcast, eh?
Structural integrity. Maybe that was his final thesis.
Yeah, and right. Do you know something? This doesn't make sense because you can bleach whatever you want in a building, like nothing will happen to it, but a drop of water can make its way through a rock.
Oh. It's true.
Well, there we go. Well, like I say, Kia, I think we've probably closed a door on a part of your life, a toilet door on a part of your life.
I like that with what Rachel just said, we've combined poop with science.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
It's very highbrow now.
That's what happens when you bring me on.
Well, actually,
it gets very intellectual.
All that we have time for now is to say, Rachel, what are you up to? Tell us where we can find you. What are you doing next?
Yeah.
Tell us everything.
Ah, thank you very much for asking. You can find me on social media at Rach Krieger. You can find me on my website, rachelkrieger.com. You can listen to my podcast with Philip Simon, which is called Jew Talking to Me. That is Jew, and it's no G on the end of talking, which my mum finds very annoying. That's jewtalkingtome.com. And if you're listening to this before the 4th of July, my cancelled tour from 2020 has one rebooking of one of the venues.
Oh,
so
yay.
I'm doing my show Hineni, which was my 2019 Edinburgh show, and it got very nice reviews at the Hanger Farm Arts Centre on the 4th of July. So please, if you're in that vicinity, come and see that. Why not?
Cool.
See if I can remember the words after like about a century.
Is that in Totten?
Yeah, where is
Have
it?
I gone mad?
Where's the hangar?
I think so.
It's only
if I remember correctly. Yes, it is in Totten, because I was asked, would you go to Totten? And I'm so desperate to go anywhere and perform anything. And I was like, yes. And I didn't know if it was even in England.
It's a really lovely art centre, actually. It's really nice. I'm like,
it looks nice on the website. But either way, I'm really excited, and hopefully other places will do it. I have lots of little shows that I've been doing and things I've been doing online. And I have one experimental online show, which I do now and then. So if anyone's listening and I'm doing it, you fancy coming along, it's called Just Ask Your Jewish Mother Already. That's its temporary name. And I answer questions that the audience puts to me. You can send them in advance. You can ask them then and there. It's improvised. And I also give you some of my personal wisdom, which you've heard a lot of through this show. So I'm sure you'd be desperate to hear more. Yeah. So come and join in. That's quite fun. Eventually, it's going to be a show called Ultimate Jewish Mother, but I feel that's the title I have to earn.
Amazing. So that's a work in progress that you're working at.
It is a work in progress. Yeah, I like it because it's sort of about 75-80% improvised, just based off the questions that people throw at me.
What kind of questions do you get?
Oh, I've had everything. I've had like relationship questions. I've had food questions. Okay. I've had nonsense questions. And I try and make the answers entertaining. You know, I've had like about childcare. And my theory is that Jewish mothers, and I don't think you have to be Jewish to be a Jewish mother. I think it's a personality type. But that we have an answer for anything. Certainly from my experience of having one and being one, we have got an answer for anything. So it's quite interesting. And for the next show, as an experiment, I'm going to go head to head for an audience question with a Catholic friend.
Oh my God.
I think Catholic mothers have got a lot in common with Jewish mothers. So we're going to see who the audience feels answers that question best.
And, oh my God. Yeah,
maybe we're going to spark another one. Well, hopefully not. But that should be really fun.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Well, all that remains for us to say is thank you for being with us, Rachel Krieger.
Thank you.
Me.
Do you know what? It's always really lovely to go on shows that you're a fan of, and I love this one and I listen to it, so this was really fun.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime, and please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.